Καλώς ήρθατε στο πρώτο επεισόδιο της σειράς podcast «Ιστορίες των Άντζακς» από την Ελλάδα. Ο ιστορικός Πίτα Γιούα, συγγραφέας του βιβλίου «Η ξεχασμένη Άντζακς, η εκστρατεία στην Ελλάδα το 1941», μας δίνει την εικόνα των Αυστραλιανών δυνάμεων στις αρχές του Δευτέρου Παγκοσμίου Πολέμου.
The Australian Imperial Force, as it was called, the army raised by Australia to serve overseas, was sent in January 1940 to Egypt to complete its training. Most of the arms and equipment that the Australians needed couldn't be found in Australia, so to complete their training they were sent to Egypt and began fighting the Italians at the end of 1940 in a successful offensive against the Italian garrison of Libya, with that country being a colony of Italy. So by February 1941 the Australians were quite experienced combat soldiers. They'd fought from the Egyptian border all the way to the Libyan port of Benghazi, which was a pretty significant achievement of arms. But at that point, they were halted so that, as I say, they could be shipped to Greece.
Γιατί όμως αποφασίστηκε να σταλούν οι Αυστραλοί και Νεοζηλανδοί στην Ελλάδα; Γιατί όχι μια αποκλειστικά βρετανική δύναμη;
Literally because there were insufficient troops in Egypt. If it hadn't been for the Australian and New Zealand divisions in Egypt, there just wouldn't have been any sufficient troops to send to Greece. There was a British tank division, but that had been involved in the fighting against the Italians in Libya, and it needed a rest. So if there was going to be any army go to Greece, it was going to be an Anzac one.
Είναι σημαντικό να κρατήσουμε υπόψη ότι το 1941 οι Ηνωμένες Πολιτείες δεν είχαν εισέλθει στον πόλεμο. Η αμερικανική κοινή γνώμη ήταν εναντίον της εμπλοκής της χώρας σε έναν ακόμη πόλεμο, αν και ο τότε πρόεδρος των Ηνωμένων Πολιτειών, Franklin Roosevelt, ήταν στεναρά ταγμένος υπέρ των συμμάχων.
The American public opinion was very suspicious about being involved in another European war, and one thing that American people believed was that their boys shouldn't be dying to protect the British Empire. So although the US President Theodore Roosevelt was a firm and avowed opponent of Hitler and had made it clear that he wasn't going to allow Hitler to win the war, he couldn't actually bring his country into the fighting without significant public opposition. So throughout 1941, America remained neutral, even though Roosevelt was doing whatever he could to send money and munitions to Britain.
Ποια ήταν η στρατιωτική αλλά και πολιτική πραγματικότητα για τους Άντζακς το 1941 στο Βαλκανικό μέτωπο; Στο θέρετρο του πολέμου, σε αυτή την πλευρά του κόσμου, οι σύμμαχοι είχαν μείνει με λίγους φίλους.
The military reality was that Germany had cowed the Balkan countries, Romania and Bulgaria, and forced those countries to accept German intervention. So the Germans had bases in Bulgaria that could mount very large-scale tank and aircraft units, and the Anzac Army constituted only 35,000 men, and heroic though the Greek Army resistance had been to the Italians, to face a modern army such as the Germans, well equipped with tanks and aeroplanes, the Australian and New Zealand force was never going to make a difference because it was just too small.
And probably too late.
Too small, too late, too under-equipped. The Anzacs had very little tank support, very few aeroplanes, and in a modern war, it's those machines of war which really determine the outcome. And in relation to political interests, those were essentially British and Churchill's. They were about impressing American and public opinion that Britain would take the fight to Hitler wherever they could, and Greece happened to be a convenient place for that to happen. The political realities of this might be seen best in the instruction that the British High Command gave to its advisers in Athens to begin plans to destroy the Greek economic infrastructure, several weeks before the German invasion, because they were determined not to allow anything to remain of value behind for the Germans to take possession of.
Η ιστορική γνώμη συγκλίνει στο ότι η αποστολή συμμαχικών δυνάμεων στην Ελλάδα το 1941 υπήρξε βεβαιασμένη κίνηση, την οποία χαρακτήριζε η ελλιπής προετοιμασία των δυνάμεων, καθώς και η έλλειψη κατάλληλου εξοπλισμού. Οι εμπειρίες και οι αναμνήσεις πολλών βετεράνων από την Ελλάδα του 1941 επιβεβαιώνουν αυτή την άποψη.
The opinion of the veterans that you speak of, I think, is only validated by the material that's in the archives. The organisation of the campaign was very hasty. The New Zealand division that accompanied the Australians had never completed an exercise as an entire unit. A number of the units only were issued with equipment as they got on the boat to go to Athens. The air force that was available to support them was minuscule in comparison to the size of the Luftwaffe units that were available in Bulgaria. So what the veterans know from their own bitter experience is certainly validated in the archival record.
Αν και ο όρος Anzacs παραπέμπει στον Πρώτο Παγκόσμιο Πόλεμο, δεν αποτελεί αποκλειστικότητα εκείνης της περίοδου. Το σώμα των Anzac συστήθηκε για δεύτερη και τελευταία φορά στην Ελλάδα στις 12 Απριλίου του 1941. Είναι ένα ιστορικό γεγονός που παραμένει άγνωστο στους περισσότερους Αυστραλούς. Μια πτυχή στην ιστορία ενός παράγοντα που προσδιορίσε σε υπέρτατο βαθμό την εθνική ταυτότητα της Αυστραλίας αλλά και την εθνική της συνείδηση, καθώς και την συλλογική της μνήμη. Παραμένει ακόμη παραγωνισμένη. Είναι η δεύτερη Anzacs. Αυτή του 1941 ακόμη ξεχασμένη.
Yes and no. No, because the Hellenic community in Australia, I think, has really led the way in celebrating their achievements. And I just have to pay tribute to the Greek community for your unstinting interest, support and enthusiasm for the Anzac story in 1941. But the irony is, alongside that enthusiasm for the Anzacs on the part of the Hellenic community in Australia, is the official neglect. So the bizarre part of the story is that the Australians and New Zealanders went to Greece for political reasons to fight on the European mainland, and yet they're recognised with a campaign medal from North Africa. So to that extent, I truly believe that they remain the forgotten Anzacs, and if we can't republicise, relitigate this issue, a big contemporary moment when we can get this wrong put right.
Ποια είναι τα διδάγματα της εκστρατείας στην Ελλάδα το 1941 για την Αυστραλία?
Terrific question, because that's my interest in history. We can think about history as remembering names and events, and that's important. But ultimately, the purpose of reflecting upon events of yesteryear really comes to life for me when we think about what it means to us today and what we could possibly do to profit from that experience, because of course that experience has been gained through blood. So for me, the key lesson in these events is to calculate very carefully what are our national interests in terms of those of the great powers. We cannot assume that great powers are pursuing a course which is necessarily in our interest, and that's overwhelmingly, I think, the thing that we need to take from the events in 1941.
Ήταν ο ιστορικός Peter Ewa, συγγραφέας του βιβλίου Forgotten Anzacs, The Campaign in Greece 1941. Στο επόμενο επεισόδιο της σειράς Ιστορίες των Anzacs από την Ελλάδα θα ακούσουμε τις εμπειρίες του Gordon Bill, που το 1941, σε ηλικία 21 ετών, βρέθηκε να πολεμά τους Γερμανούς στην Ελλάδα.
I was a member of the 2nd-8th Field Company Royal Australian Engineers. Mainly was involved in explosives, that type of thing.
Lovely dream has all come true. We'll be dancing the victory polka. Dance, dance, dance the victory polka.